Welcome to Just a Minute. And as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute here in Edinburgh. I'm Sue Perkins and we're broadcasting from the BBC Festivals at Dynamic Earth in the heart of Edinburgh. Now, let me introduce you to the four wonderful, talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Giles Brandreth, Rachel Paris, Fred McCauley and Susie McKay. Please go wild for all four. I'm going to ask them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, so we shall see how that goes. Giles, we're going to start with you.
Ooh.
The subject is my foolproof flyering technique. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on my foolproof flyering technique? Starting now.
When I first appeared as Peter Pan, that great actor Sir Donald Sinden essayed the role of Captain Hook. He said that my flyering technique was extraordinary. I was up on a wire being swung across the stage of the old Scala Theatre with leaflets in my hand, so that I was both flying and flyering simultaneously, inviting people to see my Tinkerbell, which was a role that I really felt I'd been born for. Slightly was one of the other characters, and he would catch my flyers as they flew.
Susie.
I think there was repetition.
And which word do you think was repeated there?
Flyers.
Flyers. Indeed, flyers are not on the card. Flyering is.
But flyers were only mentioned once. Flyering was mentioned, flying was mentioned, flew through the sky, but I don't remember repeating flyers.
Judgy.
Fred.
Hi, Sue.
How you doing, sweets?
I'm fine.
Do you want to weigh in on this?
No, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Can I weigh in?
Yeah, you can weigh in.
I think he said flyers twice.
He did. He did. What I like to do is I like to just lure Giles into the possibility that he's going to be proved right.
Because he said he couldn't remember saying it twice. That's proof of nothing.
Exactly. The door is merely open to social services and my very hard judgment. And the judgment has fallen, Giles. It is repetition. And can I just say, a fantastic start. You have interrupted a man who won't thank you for it in the green room later. It was a great start from Giles. He did 32 seconds. You have 28 remaining on my foolproof flyering technique, starting now.
My foolproof flyering technique is to get someone else to do it for you. Ultimately, I am Scottish and I cannot sell myself for love nor money. I require posh students to walk around Edinburgh and do the
Giles, you buzz.
I fear there was a slight hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation, I'll give you that. A very good start, but Giles fiendishly weighed in, and it was a correct challenge. You get the point, Giles. You also get the subject back with 13 seconds remaining. My foolproof flyering, starting now.
My flyering technique involves me addressing the members of the public with the words, "I need the money. I have three children, and I've discovered that cash is the one thing keeping me in touch with them."
Susie.
Not true. He is loaded.
And under
but
the
this
rules
is
of...
nonetheless the technique that I use.
An interesting conundrum. I was about to have you on deviation from reality, of course.
Yes.
But to be honest, it's your first show, is it not, Susie?
It is.
But I'm minded to give you the benefit of the doubt. And to tell you that you've got 3 seconds. You've won the subject back with 3 seconds. My foolproof flyering technique, starting now.
My foolproof flyering technique.
Well done. Congratulations. Speaking as the whistle went there means you get the point. Fabulous stuff. Rachel.
Yes.
Your subject. Tea cakes.
Ooh.
You've got 60 seconds. I can't wait for it. Starting now.
A tea cake is one of my favourite types of confection to... Oh, literally.
Oh, Fred's turned.
There was an air.
I said
It's to air is human, but...
Yeah.
I'm not, so...
Yeah. It was a slight hesitation, yeah, as denoted, yeah, by the so correct.
So sorry.
I forgive you.
I think she'll get it back. She's
I think
a lot
she will.
She's got a lot more to say. But listen, I don't want to do you down, Fred, because we all know, you know a lot about tea cakes.
Oh.
And you've got 52 fulsome seconds. Starting now.
Made of soft mallow on a biscuit covered in chocolate, light or dark. I should maybe confess I'm the voice of Tunnocks on the radio at this point. Thomas Tunnock, Uddingston's finest.
Oh! Rachel.
Repetition of Tunnock?
It was Tunnock and Tunnocks.
Oh!
Badly. I know. Fred, you still have the subject. And your time begins again now.
The aforementioned gentleman, singular, started the factory in the late 19th century, but the tea cake wasn't made until 1956, a very good year, I hasten to add. And joined... Yeah, I'm all over the place.
Rachel.
Same hesitation as me, said her.
Yeah, I did.
He did. A correct challenge. Well done, Rachel. Correct challenge. We predicted you'd get it back. You've got it back. 26 seconds. This really is the subject that will never end. Tea cakes. Go on, bring it home. Your time starts now.
I am not referring to the bready, doughy, buttery treat which you might find in England, but instead to, of course, the classic chocolate-covered, mallowy, biscuity treat covered in red...
Child.
Repetition of treat.
Yes.
Indeed, it was a repetition of treat. 13 seconds, you got in there. It was a correct challenge, Giles. So you get tea cakes. And your time starts now.
Janet, bring in the tea cakes, said Dr. Cameron, as played by Andrew Cruikshank in that wonderful series about Finlay's Casebook that I watched in the 1950s, eating gorgeous tea cakes myself.
Giles, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. Can I ask where in the world that gentleman you were referring to came from?
Do you not remember Dr. Finlay's
Casebook? Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to double down. But, no. You know.
But I've been practising that since 1954. I think he was called Bill Simpson, the actor who played Dr. Finlay.
And the location was called? Tannochbrae, well said.
Tannochbrae.
No, Tannochbrae.
Tannochbrae. You sure it wasn't called Tannochbrae?
Well, see, to be fair to Fred, where he was describing in Uddingston is actually Tannock Side, where tannocks are made. So that's just a beautiful big isn't bow there, isn't
come
it?
Come all the way back.
There you go.
I'm not really following much of this, but it sounds beautiful.
There you go. Giles, as always, single-handedly strengthening England-Scotland relations. So, as you say, speaking as the whistle went, well done, Giles. And we are with you, Susie. Your subject is pre-show rituals. You've got 60 seconds to speak on pre-show rituals. Your time starts now.
I have varying pre-show rituals and it depends where I am. So at the Edinburgh Fringe, where I am just now, I will have Baroccas, I will have some Red Bull, I will have some caffeine.
Rachel.
Repetition of I will have?
Yep, and there was some repetitious sentencing.
I feel like I'm joining the dark forces by being finicky about it, but...
No, listen, you absolutely within the rules of just a minute. You're absolutely correct. You get the subject. With 48 seconds remaining, your time starts now.
My pre-show rituals mostly involve going into a corner of the room by myself and being quiet and away from the other comedians who I find distracting and occasionally overbearing, present company excluded. I find that I like to have a Coca-Cola diet, in case you're wondering, a small Tunnocks tea cake, and be as retiring...
Oh, Susie.
Hesitation?
Yeah.
There was a tiny bit, but you know what? I like to keep things fair, but in this instance, it was a correct challenge, but I'm going to let Rachel keep the subject, because I need to hear a bit more. So with 24 seconds remaining, you keep the subject, and your time starts now.
My pre-show rituals mostly include doing stuff to my hair to make it appear blonde. I am not naturally that colour, so I apply a great deal of Batiste dry shampoo. Other types of spray are available, which is a powdery white hue.
Giles.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
That was a more obvious hesitation, yes. And you seem to have caught the Susie contagion, because with 4 seconds to go, you've got the subjects. So your pre-show rituals. Prepare for a blizzard, I suspect, of name drops of celebrities just popping in for a pre-show massage. Your time starts now.
In the old days, the pre-show ritual would have included a group hug when you could embrace everybody. But now...
Right, that's the end of that round. Let's do some scores. Everybody is level pegging, apart from Giles, who's a couple of points ahead, but it's all to play for. It is neck and neck. Giles, back with you again. The subject, you crazy cat, is wild horses. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on wild horses? Your time starts now.
Hi-yo, Silver, and away! During my childhood, the Lone Ranger was my hero and my role.
Susie.
There's no way the Lone Ranger was out when Giles was a kid. No way. No way.
Are you saying that Giles is older than the Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you are closer to him than I am. Would you care to illuminate us to the exact decades? You predate
us. I'm talking about the Lone Ranger that was presented in the 1950s. A lovely television series. It was in black and white. We had a small television that we got at the time of the coronation. Not the last coronation, the late Queen, Elizabeth II.
So 50...
So yeah. We're talking about the 1950s.
50s, yeah. Fred, you've...
Yeah, hesitation. Oh, we're not... Sorry, I thought we were still playing.
So, I like the challenge, but according to the rules of just a minute, it's not an appropriate one. So, you've got a remaining 51 seconds on wild horses. Your time starts now.
I also adored the Cisco Kid and a programme called Circus Boy, in which wild horses very much featured because acrobats would stand on two of them at the same time and go round the ring. And I watched as their legs came apart and then closer together once more. And I thought, this is wild horses or wildlife for me.
Thank God for you, Susie. Please save us from whatever this is. Cantering around a ring for Giles's pleasure. What is your challenge?
Repetition of wild horses.
Wild horses is on the card, so he's allowed to repeat that as often as he likes. That's the thing about just a minute. If it's on the cards, the rules do not apply. But I want to thank you, and in fact, I'm going to give you a bonus point for just interrupting that flow. Giles, we're back with you again. Wild horses, 33 seconds. Your time starts now.
I've been lucky enough to encounter Princess Anne, and we talked of little but wild horses. She is very much into the GGs or nags, as people who can't say.
Fred.
No, I thought there was a duplication of G, but it's GGs, so...
Yes, it's annoying, isn't it?
Very.
Yeah. You're quite late to that Giles' annoying party. Yeah, no, I love him. I love you, Giles.
We all
I
do.
Just do bants with you because you can take it.
But I feel like the sort of the feeling of wanting to stop Giles has really made us bond as a team. A real sense of spirit here. Yeah.
But I also love Giles and I want to hear a lot more about Princess Anne because it's so rare we get to hear... your interface with the British monarchy. So I'm on tenterhooks, I don't know about you guys. 24 seconds remaining, starting now.
Wild horses won't drag the rest of that story from me, but let me tell you about Frankie Dettori and when he and I discussed wild horses together, because he has broken a few over the years with the jumps and the stirrups. He is a master of dealing with wild horses and turning them into racehorse winners that from Dubai to Ascot, he can go round the course giving you wild horse heaven. He is the most remarkable human being.
A masterclass from the master. We would expect nothing less. Now, you were speaking as whistle went, you get the point. Now, Fred, right, what we got for you. Pretending you loved the show. Pretending you loved the show. You've got 60 seconds to dazzle us on that subject, and your time, my friend, starts now.
Little bit of advice for the people here and those listening at home. If you're ever in Edinburgh during the Fringe and you see two performers coming towards each other in opposite direction, watch them very closely and make sure that they can...
Susie, challenge.
Hesitation.
It's a correct one. So, a good challenge. You've got 47 seconds remaining. Pretending you loved the show and your time starts now.
Pretending you love the show is when you have to go to a child's nativity or dance class. Where we all sit for hours on end as we see our beloved niece or nephew
moving their body in a way that doesn't replicate anything other than it looks like they're having a fit. And then we have to pretend that we enjoyed the 3 minutes that they were on stage while looking at the people who made us the godparents straight in the eye and pretending not to lie. It's a very difficult situation to be in, but as a fellow performer and someone who comes to the Edinburgh festivals every year, I'm used to people looking me in the eye and telling me how much...
Giles.
I'm so sorry, but looking me in the eye, we had that.
We did. It was a repetition. And hoist by your own baton, I'm afraid, Susie, because Giles buzzed in with 3 seconds remaining.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Listen, it was a correct challenge, Giles. It's painful and it's bitter, but them's the rules. 3 seconds, pretending you love the show, darling. Your time starts now.
Boy, were you on that stage? Interesting or what?
Sensational stuff. Giles speaking as the whistle went means he gets the point. And lovely Susie, we are with you. The subject is elementary, my dear Watson. What can you tell us about that subject without hesitating, repeating or deviating in 60 seconds, starting now?
Elementary, my dear Watson, is a phrase made famous by Arthur Conan Doyle when he wrote Sherlock Holmes. But that sentence never once appeared in any of the books and actually appeared on the TV series in 1956. I've never watched Sherlock Holmes.
Giles.
Repetition of appeared, then repetition of Sherlock Holmes.
Indeed. Comprehensive. Elementary, my dear Giles. You have the subject. You've got 43 seconds and your time starts now.
I'm proud to be here in Edinburgh, the UNESCO City of Literature, that has brought so many great authors to the fore, including Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who indeed created the Sherlock Holmes mysteries, featuring that great detective and his side cook, Dr. Watson, who was both chef and Mrs. Hudson did a little bit of detective
Fred
work as well.
Challenged. I love the fact that Giles now just carries on despite the buzzer. Yes. The more you've played the game, it's like, these rules are not for me. Fred, your challenge.
Yeah, I learned a new word there.
Yes, yes.
So I think that would be deviation from normal English language. Yes. Side cook.
Giles is going to tell us what we're all wrong chefs. Now.
Side cook is the English translation of sous chef.
Although sous chef doesn't mean side cook.
No, it means underneath the
yes.
chef, doesn't it? when it comes... did I win? I know I'm not winning the game, but is it coming to me?
Of course it's coming to
me. Right, well, can you knock off the 12 seconds that you kept talking after the...
Oh, no, we don't worry. As soon as you buzzed, we stopped, my friend. All right? You get the point, Fred. Well done. You also get the subject. 26 seconds remaining, starting now.
Sherlock Holmes and his trusty sidekick, Watson, were among the most famous crime detectives that we've ever had in literature. And who can forget the other oeuvre of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the Hound of the Baskervilles, Greyfriars Bobby, Harry Potter, Ivanhoe, Treasure Island...
Susie.
Factually incorrect.
I mean, it was deviation from reality, but I just want to say I really Brilliant. Enjoyed it. I'd happily let that go on for hours. But it was a correct challenge. Well done, Susie. You get the subject back. Elementary, my dear Watson. 7 seconds.
Ooh.
Back of the net. Time starts now.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
Giles.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is a correct challenge, and you've done it with 4 seconds remaining. So you have elementary, my dear Watson, and your time starts now.
He detected a stomachache and said, "Elementary, my dear Watson, that is my conclusion."
Giles was speaking as the whistle went, as he is so often wont to do. Right, so let's have a look at some scores. It's tightly bunched again, but with a clear leader. Rachel just slightly trailing behind Fred, who's just slightly trailing behind Susie, and Giles 4 points ahead, blazing out in the front. But it's all to play for in round three. And Giles, we're back with you. Your subject is a hatchet job. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on a hatchet job starting now?
When I ran away to the circus, I was offered a hatchet job and accepted it. I had to stand in front of a huge bullseye while a juggler threw hatchets at me. It was quite ingenious because, in fact, the hatchet appeared behind me through a slit in the furniture while he...
Susie...
I'm going to go in hesitation. Yeah.
There was a winding down there. And we hold Giles to a higher standard. And I think you can acknowledge that.
I can.
Yes, that was a correct challenge. Well done, Susie. You get the subject of a hatchet job. Hopefully it'll be less graphic. But Giles seems to evoke with almost every subject. 41 seconds starting now.
I also worked in building sites and I've seen many a hatchet job by people who would pretend they were tradesmen when they clearly were not. No.
Fred, you're in.
Do you know what? There was a hesitation, I'm afraid.
There was indeed a hesitation, which means you get the subject, which, to remind everybody, is a hatchet job. 26 seconds remain, starting now.
I was walking along the Leith waterfront earlier on today, and a hatchet job happened when a seagull did a dump in my bonnet. And...
Right, there's so much to unpick there. I've never heard the phrase, done a dump in me bonnet. But I've really enjoyed it.
Welcome to Leith.
Bonnet. Take us through a bonnet. Is it a bonnet? Were you
it's
wearing a bonnet?
It's a peaked hat, usually tweed, sometimes tartan, fits on the head, round, quite tight at the back. You would call it a cap?
I would call it a cap, yes.
I feel like you're just describing a hat.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Because I've seen them before.
I don't know why I'm on this. I can't even describe a hat.
Like a Peaky Blinder hat.
A Peaky Blinder hat, yeah. That's right.
Okay. It was a bonnet. No, that's a bonnet.
I mean, you conjured an amazing image there.
Yeah. Sir Jackie Stewart wears a bonnet.
I know exactly what a bonnet is now.
There you go.
You've created that picture perfectly for me. Sadly, it was such an amazing creation of the image that you stalled. Rachel, you challenged that beautiful image.
Hesitation.
It was indeed hesitation. That's a correct challenge. So you get the subject, a hatchet job. It's been round the houses. You've got 16 seconds. Let's see what you make of it, my lovely. Your time starts now.
The time when I did a hatchet job was in 2014 at the Edinburgh Fringe, when I did a hatchet job of performing a solo show here. I performed a show called...
Giles.
A repetition performed.
Yes.
I thought it was performing and performed.
No, twice performed.
Wow, okay, well, that's me, told the host. Sadly, we don't have any VAR. You were probably listening more than I was because I was frantically scribbling. So, Giles, you get the subject with 4 seconds remaining. I don't like the way that sounds. Rachel, you get to keep the subject with 4 seconds remaining. You're ahead, Giles. You can take it. You've got broad shoulders.
I can.
Upon
I'm
which,
to.
Yes, you're always ready to. Rachel, you get a hatchet job back. 4 seconds remaining, starting now.
I did a hatchet job of building a garden shed in the summer of...
Well done, Rachel. Speaking as the whistle went, earned her that valuable point. And now we enter our final round.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're with Susie for this one, and because we're running the show here as an Edinburgh Fringe special event, we are taking a subject from our audience. So thank you to all of you who put your suggestions in. The one we've picked for you, Susie, is the joy of tapas. That's a wonderful subject. The joy of tapas. Your time starts now.
There is no joy in tapas because the idea of sharing your food is absolutely ridiculous. I like my food on my plate with my cutlery and not your knife and fork coming on to my dinner to take...
Rachel.
Sorry, repetition of my...
There were a lot of them, yes, together. Normally, as I say, I don't sweat the small words, but when they come on fast like that, I will see that as a correct challenge. Well done. So, you get the subject. 46 seconds remaining on the joy of tapas, starting now.
If you're anything like me, the joy of tapas is not having to make a clear decision when the waiter comes to take your order. You can make your choices as a massive group, and then you don't have to have the arduous task of deciding anything during the meal, and you can just grab things with your hands.
Susie?
Was there repetition of justs? Was there quite a few justs?
I didn't hear a double just.
Okay.
So I'm going to say no on that one, and it's an incorrect challenge. So 28 seconds remaining on The Joy of Tapas. Your time starts now.
The Joy of Tapas is a book that I published shortly after my award-winning Scottish folk album. Knowing very little about that genre of cooking, I kept it simple to three recipes: prawns, potatoes, and peppers. The spices were minimal. The flavours were indulgent. The critics loved it.
I so want you to self-publish every week all of these things. Fred, you challenge.
Scritics.
Yeah. That's actually a Spanish word. So
I think it's Spanish for side cook, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's a correct challenge anyway, yeah. And it seems an appropriate way to end tonight's show because you've done so with 2 seconds remaining. So you've beaten both Susie and Giles in their ability to sneak in at the last moment.
You think?
I believe in you, baby. Now let's bring this bad boy home. The Joy of Tapas, your time starts now.
Patatas bravas, meatballs, tea cakes.
Yes, tea cakes, that classic Andalusian delicacy. I've enjoyed today's show hugely. And so it seems a bit silly and trifling to do scores, but procedure must win out. And everybody fought well and fought hard. Slightly trailing in fourth, we've got Rachel just behind Susie, who's just behind Fred. But tonight's winner, it's Giles Brandon! Yay! And there, my lovelies, unfortunately, we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to all our incredible players of tonight's game. Giles Brandreth, Rachel Paris, Fred McCauley and Susie McCabe. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show. And of course, to our beloved Nicholas Parsons, who had this chair and chaired this show for over 50 glorious years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so beautifully. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and this was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening, and do please join us next time when we play Just a Minute.